Now is the first round pick of the Milwaukee Bucks, Andrew Bogut. How does that sound, Andrew? Good evening.
Not too bad.
Sounds pretty good.
Nice ring to it. So.
Well, and let's just, before we get into more, let's just go ahead and just, you're going to be the pick of the first pick. And you know this, right?
Well, you know, it's still up in the air. Still some things that are questioned, obviously, within the media. You would have read about some certain things.
Nah, this isn't about the media, Andrew. This is. We know. You know. I know. And we can just go ahead. The people in the media who say you're not going to be the Bucks pick. You know what that tells me, Andrew. And you know what you should know.
So they've got an affiliation with Atlanta.
They don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I mean that's life. So I'm just going to take it as it comes. I'm excited for June 28th, but. You know, I don't have my hopes set. I'd definitely love to play for the Bucks. I mean, I think it's an ideal situation for me. I think they're definitely the best team that win the lottery on paper. I think they're definitely got the biggest chance to make a playoff run next year out of all the teams in the lottery. So it'd definitely be an honor, but it's out of my control. You know, it's up to the GMs. So.
But I'm assuming it'd be something special to be the first player picked, or maybe some would say you don't want to be the first player picked because – if you are, then you're compared against everybody in the draft, and it puts a great deal of extra pressure.
Definitely, yeah. I was talking about that today, Torfren. You know, being number one has ups and downs, and being number two has ups and downs. You know, being number one, you're the number one pick. You're going to get your own history, especially, you know, my situation, the first, you know, European or Australian player to be the number one pick. But, you know, like you said, you get that unwanted pressure on you. You know, being number two, it's a bit more quieter. But you're not number one, so you know there's ups and downs for both spots.
So are you up to it? Are you, if there's this added baggage and there is some, are you gonna say, hey, I'll take it on, bring it on, I'll take whatever extra comes with being number one, or would you prefer number two?
No, definitely number one is my goal. You know, I won't be affected by that pressure. You know, that's just me. I'm not gonna listen to what the media and the papers say about that. I'm obviously going to take some time to adjust the NBA. You know, everyone that goes there, you know, has a period where they have to learn, a lot, especially during training camp. And I'm excited for that, but I'm definitely not going to be nervous. I'm not going to be thinking about, hey, I'm the number one pick. I need to be putting up 20 and 20. It's not going to be like that. I'm just going to come in and try to hopefully win basketball games for whichever team I'm playing for.
So would you prefer to be called or referred to as a Croatian who spent some time in Australia, or are you an Australian? What's the proper way to present Andrew Bogut, the first pick of the Bucks?
It's tough to understand, especially in America. You know, I was born in Australia, but, you know, I was raised, you know, within a Croatian community in Australia. So it's kind of a touchy situation, you know. I'm definitely Australian, proud to be Australian, proud to live in the country, but I'm very proud of my heritage, where my whole family comes from both sides, so as long as we know are Croatian. So it's one of those things where it's like, to me, I'm 50-50. So, I mean, I've got respect for both countries and the people of both countries.
So you're a Crustralian, I guess.
Crustralian,
yes. Have you ever been to Milwaukee?
Yeah, I've actually played our first round tournament game there my freshman year against Boston College at the Bradley Center. Pretty familiar with the stadium.
Do you know much about Milwaukee other than that appearance? Or
actually, one of my good friends who was the team manager for the Utes for our school this year, the basketball team, is from Wisconsin. So he was always in my ear during the year, just like, you got to come to Wisconsin, this, that. So
what did he tell you why you would want to come to Wisconsin? I want to hear this.
This is before we even knew that they had a pick or whatever. But you know, he's just saying, great party city, That's his point of view, and you know, he just thought it was a great city, especially in the summertime. He thought, you know, Great Lakes and so on. And
summer? Did he tell you about Summerfest?
Yeah, he kind of mentioned that, but you know, I'm not too big on the drinking, so I gotta be careful there.
Well, I was gonna say that because I've been around a few Aussies in my days, and there people in Milwaukee think they can put down the beer, but nothing. I've never been around people.
Yeah, I'm still.
That's when you're a crook.
Only legal in Australia and Europe at the moment, so I've got to give it another 6 months.
So as far as drinking beer, you're more Croatian than you are Australian.
Well, I think as it comes to Croatian drinking, I don't think you'll ever out-drink a Croatian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you might have to. You know what? You might have to be careful that way.
Wow, I apologize for to all Croatians out there for not giving them their just due. We might have to create a. That would be an interesting battle between the Australians and the Croatians. You think it'd be a? It could go either way, huh?
I know with spirits, it'll go to Croatia definitely, but with beer, you know, it's a tough one.
What's the story about your eyes?
About my eyes, I'm nearsighted. I've got a corrective contact lens. There's a minor procedure in my left eye, which it isn't perfectly round. My left eye, it's a little bit more like an oval shaped, but nothing's progressing. There's nothing wrong with my vision. I mean, I have 20/15 vision with contacts, which, as you know, 20/40 vision is your license passing test to get your license. And I mean, I'm past that. I'm past 20/20, which is, you know, pretty much perfect vision. I'm on 20/15 with contacts. And I mean, you know, if people say I got an astigmatism because I wear contacts, you know, I think half the United States has astigmatism then. So it's just one of those things that's been blown out of proportion, mainly because my sister did have an operation. She had something very severe, which was cavity coronis, which was very, very severe. She had to have a cornea transplant. But, I mean, a cornea transplant was a 100% successful procedure. And it got blown out of proportion from there. You know, people thought it was hereditary, which it definitely isn't. So
you don't have the same condition that your sister has?
Well, the condition I have, it's similar because it's my eye's not perfectly spherical, so it's a bit oval, but she deteriorated so much and it got worse and worse that she couldn't see without contacts at all, so they just gave a cornea transplant and she was fine. But, I mean, I'm nowhere near that level, and I'm not going to be near that level until I'm 60 or 70 years old, so there's definitely not a problem in that sense.
Well, that was my question, and I don't want to belabor it, but the concern probably isn't about your vision now, but that the possible deterioration in a manner similar to your sister, and you say there's no chance of that?
Yeah, I've had tests all last week. On the contrary, as soon as we, you know, found out about it, before we even did that, I already have contacts, and we had tests to prove that everything's fine. And even my eye doctor said there's no way, you know, if people think that, you know, people are hinting that I'm not going to be able to see in 5 or 10 years, there's no chance of that. And he's put on record, he's put it on paper, and he said his job's on the lot. He'll resign if I go blind, basically saying, you know, there's no chance his eyes are going to deteriorate. So it's basically one of those things that, you know, obviously further down the track when I'm a bit older, if I don't look after it and maintain it, it's definitely going to affect my vision when I'm, you know, old enough and retired. But there's a lot of things these days that can treat it too once you're older and once I'm done playing basketball. So
talking with Andrew Bogut. Now, Andrew, you do expect to be picked by the Bucks, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think that's the ideal situation for me and for them. I think they need someone in the middle. I think I'm the right guy for it. But definitely, you know, as opposed to, you know, the comments coming out, all that type of stuff. If they pass on me and want potential with Marvin Williams down the track, I mean, I can't control that. But I definitely, you know, like I said before, it'd be a great honor to play for the Bucks.
We talked with Jeff Strom, who remembers flying for the University of Utah, nearly dying in a plane crash, desperately trying to meet this Andrew Bogut back in some, we call him Crocodile Dundee now, when he first attempted to recruit you for Utah. And he said two things. He said people should realize about Andrew Bogut that, one, that you still have something to prove, because he said when you were younger, kids kind of made fun of you, and you haven't forgotten that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I got cut from a team when I was 18 years old, and It was the turning point of my life, my career. I work harder than everybody else, and I've done it to this day. I'll just outwork people. You know, people say I'm, you know, not as athletic as the Garnett and that, but people say I have no athleticism. I do have athleticism, but I'm definitely not as athletic as the Garnett. But, you know, I'll work as hard as those guys, and I'll maintain my work ethic throughout my tenure in the league.
What team did you get cut from at 18?
It was similar to AAU type thing. I mean, in Australia, it's a different system. Obviously, you don't play for your high school; you play for like your club teams, and then the best in the state form a team. And there's like a national championships there, which every state plays each other, the best of every state. And I actually got cut from that team, so it was pretty disappointing. And then actually made it the next year and the year after, and then obviously won the World Junior Championship for Australia, got a gold medal. So.
What's your relationship with Coach Mazaris? In addition to the discussion about your eyes, there's been some discussion that that your relationship isn't the best?
I think it's a big media portrayal. I have no problems with Coach Majerus. You know, obviously, he's a tough guy to play for.
He is.
Definitely, he demands the best for you every day. And sometimes, you know, being as immature as I was as a freshman and being an immature young college student, you don't understand that sometimes. And, you know, you come to realize that sometimes it's just very hard day to day. He demands the best from you every day. And I definitely learned in that year under Coach Majerus, you know, more than I've learned in 10 years together. You know, he taught me so much about the game that I didn't know. And I think he's really actually helped me, you know, to take a step to the NBA with what he's taught me. So I have no problems with him. You know, if I see him, you know, it's going to be fine. There's no problems as opposed to media or, you know, whatever he's saying or whatever. I mean, I'm fine with the guy, and he was my coach. I have a lot of respect for him, and that's the way it goes.
Would you say that you kind of understand and appreciate those things a little bit better today than you did back then?
But the thing is, you know, when you're, you know, I'm a kid from Australia, moving to another country. I have no family here, you know, and he's demanding the best from you, you know, in many different ways on the court. And it's, you know, it's definitely tough to understand, you know, as a young kid, you know. Honestly, you know, it's one of those crossroads. You have to make a decision if you love a game enough, and I did, and I stuck with it. So but definitely look back on it, and it's obviously a mistake, but that's just the maturity level. I think I've matured so much in the last 2 years that it's been unbelievable for me.
Jeff Strom said people will also, and what we liked about him at Utah was he's got a nasty streak in him.
it's a little bit so. I mean, you know, I just want to win, man. I'll do anything it takes to win, and guys on our team usually would get themselves going when I got going. So, you know, I figured that out halfway through the year that, you know, if I'm pumped up, if, you know, I'm blocking shots and getting dunks and yelling and screaming, that, you know, guys feed off my energy. So I think if I keep doing that and we keep winning games, I'm going to keep doing it. You know, if I make a big play, you know, say to lose ball or block a shot or dunk on somebody, you know, I'll show emotion, not to embarrass, you know, the person I did it to or whatever, but just showing emotion that, you know, this is our game and we're going to win this game. So that would be where the mean streak comes from, and that's the way I've played for years. So,
who's the best player you've ever played against?
The best player I've ever played against? Tim Duncan, probably. Olympics.
And there's a belief, mine, that one of the reasons the Bucks are so confident in with you as a selection is that you proved in international play, the Olympics, how you would play against some of the world's best.
Yeah, that's the sad thing. I mean, if you look at the guys in the draft, how many guys, you know, have won a world championship gold medal, have played in the Olympics, represented their country, you know, started for the, you know, the Olympic team. You know, obviously you can say it's harder to make the USA team than it is the Australian team, but I mean, I've experienced everything that there has to be besides NBA basketball in the world. So I think that's definitely experiences that you can't put money on, you can't put a finger on. It's just something that comes with time, and I've learned so much from being with, you know, professional guys on the Australian team that have played in the NBA, Shane Hill and so on, and they just teach you a lot, and experience is invaluable, I think, especially in the draft. I don't think there's anybody else that has been through, had as much experience on the court as me, so.
Who's your favorite player, basketball player, or athlete for that matter?
At the moment?
When you were growing up or now?
Dragan Petrovic for Croatia was probably one of my favorites basketball-wise. You know, he was just a workhorse, and he loved the game. You know, broke every record in Europe, won every trophy in Europe, and came over here and had a successful tenor. Tragically, you know, his death, I think, put a perception that, you know, he wasn't that good. And in a way, you know, I think he would have been a two or three time All-Star if he didn't pass away that early, and he really found his form. So that was someone that I really respected coming over here and working hard.
If you could have a career like a player, a certain player, that would say to you, I've had a good, this is an NBA career, this was what my dream was, to be as good as this player. Is there such a player?
Tim Duncan. You know, I just love the way he plays, and he's basically, you know, the same position as me. I'll probably play more of the five, more of the center, but I just love the way he plays the game and the way he approaches things. He's the ultimate professional athlete on and off the court in the NBA, and you don't see many guys like him these days. You know, he doesn't he doesn't, you know, talk it up in the media and so on and all that. He just goes and does his business and gets pumped up when he wins games and just wants to win games, and deservedly so. They're in the NBA Finals as we speak. So,
talking with Andrew Bogut, you've been kind enough to give us this much time. If you've discovered that as the likely number one pick, everybody picks and this and that, and this is the problem, and what about this? But if you were going to tell your future Milwaukee fans one thing that is you, that regardless of everything they hear now in the future, this would be the one thing they want to always remember about you as the core of what you are as a person and a player, what would that be?
Just respect and work ethic, I think. I respect the game, and it respects me back. I think I'm not going to go in there and think, you know, the game revolves around me, because that's not how it works. You know, a lot of guys, you know, want the game revolve around them, and they can't play without the ball. I don't want to be like that. I can play any role on a team. If the coach needs me to rebound, I'm just going to rebound. If I don't need to score, you know, Michael Redd needs to put up 50, that's fine with me. You know, if I put up 10, that's fine. And just work ethic, I think, working hard every day and doing the things that the coach wants to get my game better or to benefit the team is something that I want to be remembered for.
Well, I appreciate the time. Is there any weird hobby or a habit that you have that we're going to learn about later? You know, you like to eat raw, I don't know, worms or something. I don't know. You got any, you know, no one's perfect, Andrew. We want to add just a little flair to you that people should be aware that Andrew Bogut can drink a six pack of Coke without taking it out of the can. I don't know what it is. There's got to be something there. That's, you know, you're a Crustralian, and there's no question to me, based on the player that you mentioned as your all-time hero, that you are a Crustralian. But come on, you got any particular food you like? Any hobbies, strange hobbies? Just we want to add a little personality, a little personal flavor to.
You know, talking to friends back home in Australia and Croatia on the internet is what a lot of my time revolves around. Just catching up with people. Bad habit, biting my nails till there's nothing left at all.
There we go. That's what we were looking for. Now we can. Now you're real. You're a person.
I'm definitely a person, man. I've got a lot of support with me.
Well, keep going.
Croatian food, Croatian cooking. If you can cook me a Croatian meal, you're welcome to my house anytime.
I think there's, and I have a Croatian friend, but I think there's a reasonably strong Croatian, I don't want to say contingent, but a group of people in Milwaukee.
Yeah, there definitely is. I've already researched that, and that's another plus. You know, being a couple of hours drive from Chicago, there's a big population of Serbian Croatian people in Milwaukee and Chicago, which is definitely a big plus for me. So I think it'll really help me on the food side of things.
So do you ever bite your nails to the point where they bleed? Has it gone that far?
There's no nail at all. You can't see. I can never. You get these little gadgets, you have to take something out with your nail. I can never do it. I have to get like a pen or something. So it's really annoying that way. And every now and then I get little infections from a ball hitting the side of my fingers because there's no nail there. So it gets to be annoying sometimes. But I mean, I just can't stop doing it because I'm so nervous. So.
Well, that's good. They people can relate to you now a little bit better, Andrew. Now, you are actually 7 feet. Some people are more than seven. They say they're 6'11", but you're...
I'm 7 feet, baby, yeah.
Yeah, easy. They do that in stocking feet, or is that with your shoes on?
That's with my shoes on. I'm probably like 7.5 with my shoes on.
Mm. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. The biting your nails, it's going to be huge, you know. there's a warmness that people feel with you, Andrew, that wasn't exist before that. What's your favorite movie of all time? I'm curious.
Ooh, my favorite movie. There's too many. I mean,
just pick
like
a couple then.
A couple. I'm more on the TV shows, but I mean,
okay, TV shows.
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld. That'll go big.
A lot of Australian stuff. There's a lot of Australian movies that I don't think you guys would have heard of.
Go ahead. I might.
The Wog Boy. There's no chance you would have heard of that.
No, The Wog. What was it again?
Wog Boy. WOG Boy.
Oh, so you think that'd be worth seeing, huh?
Definitely. Oh, it's hard to understand if you don't know. It's basically like how European people act when they're in Australia once they migrate. So it's kind of hard for people to understand that don't. I've lived that life, so I understand it. You know what I mean? So I can relate to that movie a lot.
And lastly, I don't go anywhere as far as eating unless there's a drive-through. But if I was going to try, if I was going to try one Australian or Croatian dish, what would you suggest?
Sausage fan.
Sure.
It's called Cevapcici. It's a Croatian style sausage. Serbo Croatian style sausage. It's like a, you know, they mince. It's called kind of like a mint sausage. It's awesome. You need to try that. It's drenched with fat too, so you'd love it.
Yeah, it'll go big in Milwaukee. And that, as far as Australian food, or did you eat mostly Croatian?
I mean, the Australian food. There's no real, you know, meat pie is probably the only thing that's really Australian. You know, most of the stuff in Australia is really, you know, European type culture. So I mean, you can't. There's no real Australian food. So I'd say probably the meat pie is the only thing. It's a pastry. You know, a ham-sized pastry, and it's just got minced meat inside it, and usually you put some ketchup on top and eat it, and that's a big Australian delicacy.
Ketchup is big in Australia, huh?
Yeah.
Andrew, thanks for taking the time, and look forward to meeting you when the Bucks. You don't have to tell us; we all kind of know it.
No worries.
Yeah, and if anybody tells you nah, then you know you can discount it. They're just trying to add a little fire to the whole thing. You're coming to Milwaukee
for sure. No worries, man.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you. Appreciate
Bye.
It. Bye.
Andrew Bogut, soon to be of the Milwaukee Bucks. No, seriously, of everything that was mentioned in that interview, and that he's a team player, and he wants to be Tim Duncan, and he didn't want to diss Australia, but he's Croatian. He's a Croatian who grew up in Australia. Nobody's going to remember any of that. Sparky, what's everybody going to remember? Guy bites his nails. Back after this on News Talk 1130 WISN.